Okay.
Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right with your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. We may not have all the answers, but we'll help you find them. We're coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as we do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. Our format is 30 minutes to allow for a short lessons learned application regarding ethics. For call-ins, dial 646-478-3840 or interact in our chat room.
Hello, and welcome to Blog Talk Radio's Do the Right Thing Right for Thursday, February the 19th. And I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. And I'm coming to you live from Houston, Texas, as I do every Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And I want to remind our audience for call-ins to dial 646-478-3840, or you can interact in our chat room. And today's guest is Alan Jordan. And thank you, Alan, for being on the show today.
Hey, thank you very much for having me.
Great. Listen, Alan, tell us a little bit about your background.
Well, my background is fundamentally in IT, information technology, and also in marketing. I have probably about over 30 years experience between the both, the IT side focusing on, everything internet since the mid-90s, but prior to that it was a lot of applications, back office applications. And then I went over into the internet side, it became more marketing with websites, digital, all the digital marketing aspects of that. So, this is my life, and I love it. Technology and especially the internet is a wonderful thing.
Yeah, it is. It is. Listen, Alan, I noticed your website, which is farpointalliance.com, correct?
Yes, it is.
One of the things I saw on there is that you were a certified ethical hacker. What is that? Can you share that with our audience?
Ethical hacker means that you know how to hack websites. And then once you find out those vulnerabilities, so a company may hire you to say, figure out how people, what can we prevent, or, how people can get in. And you go through those efforts. So, think of it as your house, and you break in. I would break into your house and then tell you how I broke in so that you can know what security measures that you should take to keep people like me from breaking in.
Okay. Well, that sounds interesting. I want to ask you, have you ever faced an ethical dilemma, either personally or professionally?
I actually get a lot more now actually with digital marketing because I deal with reputation management. So sometimes people, you would be approached by potential clients to ask you to fix or rig some things in their reputation. Meaning, you take some reviews, let's say you're a hotel, and you have, let's say, a bed bug problem or something like that. And so all these reviews are on websites like TripAdvisor, Yelp, and things like that. And they'll, ask me to make them go away. So, you get those type of approaches all the time. From the website perspective, a lot of people misrepresent themselves. I'm sorry. Go ahead.
No, go ahead. They ask you to do that?
Oh, yeah. It's like, I have all these bad reviews out there. Fix it.
Right.
And, because that's one of the things we do.
Uh-huh.
But when you're fixing something, especially dealing with reputation, my first ask of any potential client is it true?
Mm-hmm.
It's sort of taking a criminal lawyer approach, unfortunately. And hopefully they don't lie to you. So then you go from there. So if they say, yes, it's true. So my next statement is, well, what are you doing to fix it? So back to an example of a hotel with bed bugs, you would say, hey, one of the first things we do is use social media to post your bed bug inspection certification that you have eradicated the situation, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
Post that, show it, and let everyone know. So, yes, mm-hmm. we had a problem, but now we're over it. Because everybody gets mm-hmm. problems. So, mm-hmm, you know, mm-hmm, it's just mm-hmm. that approach.
Hmm. There was an interesting I'm trying to refresh my memory. An interesting situation that happened that a guy stayed at a not a guy but a couple stayed at a hotel, and during the night they heard they had some potato chips on the dresser, and they heard some crackling noise, and come to find out it was a rat. And so they called the front desk, and the front desk said that that's impossible. It couldn't be one. So they said, well, we want to move out of our room. So they let them move out of the room. They never did see the rat anymore. But they moved out of their room, and the next morning when they left, they complained to the manager, and he said, you're mistaken. There was no rat, and they wanted some kind of deduction off their bill, and he wouldn't do it. So they filed a complaint on TripAdvisor or one of those advising websites, and mm-hmm. The manager came back and tried to sue them for slander,
right,
saying that they had never had a rodent problem and this and that. And finally, the news channel here in Houston kept going over it and over it, back and forth, and you know, telling this side of the story, that side of the story, back and forth. And then finally, the couple said, we just want an apology from the owner of the hotel. That's all we want now. And he gave the apology to save his reputation. And this was a very high-end hotel here. And I
Correct.
Thought that was really strange that he refused to, you know, sometimes the best thing to do is to keep the situation calm is to satisfy the customer, you know? And
correct.
And his reputation was damaged. His hotel's reputation was damaged because he allowed it to keep festering and festering and not correcting the situation. So, yeah, the reputation is very important.
Oh, yeah, because especially now, because most people, over 80% of people now look, you know, when they're going to travel especially, it's really affected that industry.
Mm-hmm.
They look and mm-hmm. see and look at the reviews. Because if you, let's mm-hmm. say you did a search for, and I don't even know, does it exist, a Holiday Inn in Houston, Texas, you know,
mm-hmm.
in a certain section, you're going
mm-hmm.
to bring up not only the website for the company, but the rest of that page is going to probably be filled with different type of reviews. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, that whole reputation management aspect is very big in most businesses. It doesn't necessarily,
mm-hmm.
you know, in the past, the only thing we could do was say, let me call the Better Business Bureau and see do they have any complaints.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
but now
mm-hmm.
it's much, you know, it's you know, people now have a much bigger venue. And, you know, a lot of times, a lot of the stuff isn't even true. You have competition
mm-hmm, mm-hmm,
that will
mm-hmm,
post
mm-hmm.
post things. So, you know, you have to take that approach to it.
Oh, okay. Okay, I didn't think about that. Yeah, you're right. Hmm.
Yeah, because, you know, with the Internet, a lot of these comments can be, or most of them are anonymous. So it's not necessarily
right.
like you're really, you know, Alan Jordan posting this. I can assume Denzel Washington, for as far as I care, is my, you know, is my name. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, and say, hey, I stayed there, blah, blah, blah. And, you know, you can really do damage to people. And, you know, that
mm-hmm.
has occurred where, you know, competition, you know, especially with the smaller, you know, like hotel chains and bars and things like restaurants have actually
mm-hmm.
went and put stuff out there about their competitors.
Hmm.
So it happens.
Wow.
You know, the one thing I also tell customers is do not get into an online battle with people.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like if it's something that's not facts-based, for instance, like you said, that situation with a rat. Again,
mm-hmm.
the hotel could have said, hey, here's our recent inspection by, you know, whatever company. They found
mm-hmm.
no, you know, like
mm-hmm.
mouse droppings or something. No, and,
mm-hmm.
and that could have been it.
Mm-hmm.
And you let
right.
it go. You know, once you go back and forth, that becomes part of the internet and doesn't go away. Because what happens is, for instance, when you get on the first page, you're only on there until someone else is on the first page. So if you continue to go back and forth with some, you know, endless banter, that can actually reactivate the searching position.
Mm-hmm.
So if it's something you want to go away, it can keep it on the first page longer. If you ignore it, it may only be up there for a little while.
Okay. Yeah, that makes sense. So do you find yourself doing a lot of SEO work for your clients?
Yes.
Explain SEO to our audience first.
Okay. SEO is search engine optimization, in which all you're trying to do is make your website attractive to the search engine's algorithms, which means, hey, one of the things, for instance, Google looks for is how much content is related to what you put in as the search term. So if you're searching for, let's say, high heel shoes, does your website mention specifically high heel shoes or just mention shoes? So SEO says, hey, we want our business to focus on these keywords, so let's make sure our website is about that. You know, so that it will help it to appear in the first page of the search engine more. Because that's generally where most people go. Something like 86% of the people never go to the second page in the search engine. So very important for you to be on the first page.
And how many can show up on the first page? Is there like an average?
Only 10.
Only 10.
Nope, it's only 10. Right, and if you know between Google, Yahoo, and Bing, that's something like well over 90% of search engine activity in those three engines, with Google having the most searches. So you know you can search for, like I said, high heel shoes right now, and you search for it an hour from now, only probably 8 out of those 10 items may appear. Because they want to make it random as much as possible. Because the search engines make money from the paid ads. So that's what you see usually on the right-hand side.
So
if you pay for high heel shoes to appear every time someone searches for high heel shoes, you're going to be in the top positions. Versus the free or organic search portion.
Okay, that makes sense. Now you also do social media marketing. What does that entail?
That basically is about we manage some clients' social media presence, including things like, you know, Facebook, Twitter, LinkedIn, you know, all those social media type of sites. Because social media has become the biggest aspect of how we communicate now. It used to be things like email. Social media is taking away the need for email because people actually do things more in real time. You know, I'm visiting someplace and stuff, let me type up an email and send you the picture that I just took. They post it to Instagram. And if you're following that person, you get it immediately. So, you know, it's things like that. Social media has really taken over, and about 72% of people across ages engage in some type of social media every day.
Is there a certain, is there a certain age group of people that are on Facebook, or is it just the same thing for Instagram. Is there a certain age group that goes onto those sites, particularly?
The demographics for that type of the social, they're called social networking, because you have to in order to see the things, you actually have to sign up. So they're more like closed networks versus mm-hmm. just regular news or something that anyone can see.
Mm-hmm.
But,
mm-hmm.
yeah, so those social networks, about over 90% of the people are in the 18 to 24-year-old age range. About 85% are in like 25 to 35. So basically, if, you know, you have to pick your battles when you're using social media networks. What I mean by that is, you know, Facebook is not for every business.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Facebook is about the business that want to appeal to those certain age groups and things that do a lot mm-hmm. of, you know, more trendy, flashy type things. For instance, if you're a law firm,
mm-hmm.
having a Facebook page is not going to do anything for you.
Okay.
You know, but if you're selling, you know, some type of trendy type of, you know, fashion, you know, Facebook and throwing things out there constantly where people are going to see it is good. But again, you know, they're only going to see what they're connected to. So,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
you have to make sure you have a lot of, you know, connections, followers, fans, or whatever, you know, whatever is the nomenclature that they're using on the sites.
Mm-hmm. Hmm. So you can help a business, if I was a law office, I could come to you and you could help me develop my social media marketing plan? Is that something you do?
Yes. That's
okay.
what we do. We focus on – we really focus on a lot of small businesses simply because, you know, the Internet gives everyone a chance to compete. So what
mm-hmm.
we do is with our clients is create a comprehensive marketing plan. Like I said, social media may not be for everyone. So if you're
mm-hmm.
a law firm, I may say to you in terms of the social media network you need to be on may be LinkedIn versus
mm-hmm.
Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and do you want to have a Twitter account? I mean, I recommend a Twitter account, and this is what we're going to do with that. Because, you know, a Twitter account, you really have to be active in it to really make it worthwhile. And
mm-hmm.
the number of
mm-hmm.
tweets that you have to do per day is, you know, it's insanely high. Yeah, because,
oh,
you
really?
Know, the way Twitter works. Yeah, I mean, if you look at a Twitter page, you only have so much space. You know,
mm-hmm.
so it's constantly, you know, the next tweet, so to speak, is overriding the next one and pushing
mm-hmm.
it down. So,
mm-hmm.
And since you never know when someone's going to look at their, you know, their Twitter account,
mm-hmm.
you know, you never know when the audience is going to turn on the TV. Think of it that way.
Mm-hmm.
You never know
mm-hmm.
when the audience is going to turn on the TV. So you have to make sure that you have content coming all the time. And
so,
you know, no one does that.
Right. What about blogging? Is that a viable marketing tool?
That is more for getting back to the algorithms the search engines you look for. So they
mm-hmm.
look for something that shows connections between different sites. So, you know, again, talking about high heel shoes, if your website is selling a lot of different shoes, but you want to be ranked for high heel shoes, it would, you know, it's a nice thing to do a blog, not changing your website, but do a blog that, let's say, we're going to speak about high heel shoes on today.
Ooh.
So because you connect it back to your website, that will draw the
mm-hmm.
connection and pull your website authority up also to say, hey,
oh.
there's some connection here with high heel shoes. So that is where, you know, blogging became important in the business world. I'm not
mm-hmm.
talking
mm-hmm.
about, you know, having Allen's fashion site and tell you what I like to look at. But,
mm-hmm.
you know,
mm-hmm.
but in terms
mm-hmm.
of how it works, in, you know, with all the businesses.
So for a small business, Allen, this could be a large task. Maneuvering the Twitter account, the website, how does a person manage all that? I mean, do you have to have a person specifically dedicated to doing that in your organization or what?
Yeah, I mean, if you take a big organization, they actually have multiple people managing their social media accounts.
Mm-hmm.
So, for instance,
mm-hmm.
if you took an insurance company, An insurance company may sell things like life insurance, auto insurance, and health insurance, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
So
mm-hmm.
you would want someone in each of those, you know, categories that you sell to manage your, to have a social media presence. So they may mm-hmm. actually have multiple people, you know, across the organization. And that's just for, you know, Twitter, maybe Facebook or something like that. That doesn't count the website, which may be a different group, you know, it's usually a different
mm-hmm.
group of people. Yeah. So, you know, it's a lot. It really has become a lot. But, you know, the difference is the same money that they were spending years ago on newspapers, magazines, and television is now has just gone shifted to another area. So it's not like you have, you know, it's costing you more money. It's actually probably can cost you less because you get you get more exposure because now you have a global presence versus, let's say, a local or regional. And the people that you're paying have to have could have less experience. Because, you know, you know a lot of companies get these, you know, the millennials that come right out of college and say, hey,
right.
now you're my social media manager, and then get
mm-hmm.
rid of the person who had been dealing with advertising agencies and understand how that worked for the last 30 years. So now, you know, their salaries is, you know,
mm-hmm.
now decreased by like 70%. So, you know,
right.
companies don't
right.
mind this.
Right, but Alan, what about a small business like a mom and pop jewelry store? How do they stay competitive with all the social media accounts and ways of marketing? How do they do that?
They hire me.
Okay.
No, really. Usually what they do is their first attempts are. You know, you'll see this on TV all the time. Here, build your website for free. So
mm-hmm.
they'll build a website. Then
mm-hmm.
they'll say, okay, well, now I need a Facebook page, and they'll do something with Facebook. But they do something with Facebook, and then they abandon it. Or
mm-hmm.
they do something with Twitter, and then they abandon it because, you know, there's, you know, like I said, to be effective, you got to have a lot of activity. And it usually
mm-hmm.
starts out with, my 15-year-old son knows how to do this, and, you know,
mm-hmm.
they start out
mm-hmm.
something like that, and, you know, and they go
mm-hmm.
from there. Then they may have some success. Again, it depends on how active they're going to be and, you know, what you're going to do. Because, for instance, you said a jewelry store. Let's say they have some type of monthly theme or, you know, discounting on watches this month, and you know, or
mm-hmm.
particularly Rolex watches. You know, you have to always communicate that with the online world. So if they,
mm-hmm.
that's what they do. But again, you know, I tell clients all the time is you were doing advertising anyway, whether you was using newspaper, radio, or a local
mm-hmm.
TV, you were
mm-hmm.
spending X dollars every year. So shift your budget to this, you know, to do this, and that way it's not costing you anymore, but you
mm-hmm.
also get more exposure. So you're actually creating a win-win situation because you may come out spending less.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, there's ways,
but
a lot of times people are restricted
mm-hmm.
based on their own knowledge.
Right. And knowledge is power. But, Alan, listen, can social media marketing really help a company, I mean, drive their sales?
It can, because the whole thing around social media is really to push people to the website. And that is what the
mm-hmm.
messaging has to be about. And that's where a lot of times people lose track of it. For instance,
mm-hmm.
if I'm getting back to that, you know, small jewelry store example, if I start
mm-hmm.
talking too much about Rolex watches and my feed and my, you know, my Twitter messaging, you know, what happens? Someone will start doing a search for Rolex watches to make sure
mm-hmm.
what I'm saying is, you know, is truthful. And once they do
mm-hmm.
that, then now you didn't drive them to their site, you drove them to another site. And it keeps
mm.
going on and on. Next thing you know, they end up finding, you know, your competitor across town that's 10% cheaper. So,
mm-hmm.
you know, you
mm-hmm.
started the whole thing, but you know, it actually worked better for your competitor. So, you know, managing where people, you know, go is the big challenge. And like I said, you want them to go to your website, not starting to do, you know, ancillary searches and things like that that may lead them someplace else. So it's really about taking, number one, when you look at the marketing aspect, taking these targeted leads, because these are your customers, your friends, your family, or whatever, and say, hey, this is what I'm doing. Come to see me about it. Don't go someplace else. So It's all about, when you talk about social media, it's all about getting the right targets.
Wow. That's interesting. You know, back to that, when we were talking about your online reputation, what do you believe is the main reason why people don't have good online reputations or working an effective online reputation?
That a lot of times, especially with smaller businesses, you know, I'm not talking like the Fortune 500, whatever. They don't pay attention to what is being said. So, for instance, I mean, it's happened a lot. You'll see a smaller business. Let's say they generate less than $1 million in sales a year, because that's you know, even if you're generating $500,000, you know, you still consider a small business. SBA standards is up to like over $5 million a year, which is crazy. So, you know, you're generating, you know, you're making a comfortable living for yourself. You have, you know, you're generating about, you know, under $1 million in sales a year, and you start and you don't understand why business is starting to drop off. Then you decide one day to do a search for yourself, and what, you know, lo and behold, there's Yelp with 43 bad reviews. And let's get back to that hotel example that you said with the rats. You know, so now I have 43 bad reviews that's been going on for several months about this rat problem that I don't have. The thing is, a lot of smaller businesses get blindsided by what's out there because they don't manage that presence.
And so you can do that for an organization, a small business.
Yes.
Okay. And if somebody wanted to get in contact with you, how would they, Alan?
The number is, the telephone number is 702-832-0990. The website is farpointalliance.com, or to make it easier, F as in Frank, P as in Peter, A as in Apple, marketing.com.
Okay, great. Well, listen, I want to thank Alan for being on our show today. Time goes by so fast, and next week we'll have another guest who will talk about an ethical dilemma that he or she faced. But again, Alan, thank you for joining us today. And we invite our listeners to tune in next Thursday at 12 noon Central Standard Time. And remember, I'm your host, Phyllis Wilson, the Do Right Guru. I may not have all the answers, but I'll help you find them.